It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everyone. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being sent home from school because of your mom's boobies.
Terrible.
Terrible when that happens. Your mom's boobies are a problem, mister. You know what they did, and now we all know what they did.
They're in the way.
They are. Delightfully so. You could join our chat room, Denpen. Go to davincomedy.com. Click live broadcast. Also watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. Hopefully we got the audio better this week. We're working on it. And I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe should be here very soon. On the show, should priests be forced to report child abuse? They learn about during confessions. Very interesting conversation we had with that one. A school suspends a boy because his mom is an OnlyFans model. You harlot. What the hell is this? Why is something else playing? We don't need something else playing. Knock it off, you. No more music. I don't know why that was playing. All right, that's weird.
There's closed captioning on Facebook, and it's so funny to see what you're saying.
Yeah, it happens. I don't mind that. You could shut it off, but all right, anyway. Iowa doesn't want poor people eating protein. That was Pip's blog, and it was a fiery one. Drunks in the news and how Jack Daniels is ruining a town. Not the same way it ruins Joe's liver, I guarantee you that. A vegan had his license plate taken away by the state of Maine because they hate vegans. We'll tell you what that's about. And scamming scammers. A lot to do. Joe and I spent a lovely weekend together, which we will get to shortly. I have a used stink, which I decided I was going to bring to the table. Joe is fully aware of what that stink was because I told him about it at breakfast. Joe has questions about my snowblower since we've had two snowstorms since Jetsy was first asked to be put to use. But we'll start with you. You actually did something. What did you do?
Well, I didn't actually do something. Oh. I'm about to do something.
Oh, you're about to? Oh, still. It's a momentous occasion.
No, not really.
Oh, all right. Well, what are you having, another procedure? Is that what's going on?
No, not exactly. I have been going to physical therapy after my car accident.
Okay.
To help with my neck and shoulder injury, and wait, before I tell this story, breaking news: Gail in the chat says there's no echo.
And she can hear us. Thank you, Gail. If only you could have seen what it was like dragging Pip's carcass to this moment to get us to quality sound. Now, hopefully, Joe will sound well. Good God. Well, now you know what to do. So now you know.
Yeah.
So now you don't need me to walk you through it, hopefully.
No.
Good.
Yeah, it should be fine.
It should be. Well, yeah, it should be. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm not going to get too excited, but thank you, Gail, for that update. Anyway, So something is going to be done to you. Is that where we were at?
Well, actually, I have to go to the insurance independent doctor to see if I still warrant any physical therapy sessions, which you know what that means.
Well, here's what needs to happen. I should be brought into this meeting. And I would get the head therapist there, too. I feel like I could represent you the best and potentially get you the most help that is desperately needed.
Well, they're not going to fix my head.
No, no, but I feel they should be called in too. I feel as I feel as long as we're going to address the issues, let's just get it all out of the way.
So we need a team.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know how big the room is though.
Well, if we have to get if we have to build a wing, so be it.
So how much do you charge per hour for your consultation fee?
Well, it really depends on how much less aggravation getting you this help will bring into my life.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, if it eliminates the aggravation, I'm doing it pro bono. If it does not, we'll talk.
Did you say pro bono?
Yeah, I'm using legal terms.
Pro bono.
Sure, it's not amateur. It's turned pro.
Well, so this is the thing, counselor.
Yes.
I am not sure what's the best thing to say so that if I have even a shot at them giving me more physical therapy treatments, what's the best tactic?
You should honestly, you should probably talk to somebody. Do you have a friend? You know who you should reach out to? You should reach out to Brett Eidman because he used to be in the insurance industry. So that's what you should probably do. Reach out to Brett.
Really?
I don't know exactly what type of insurance, but there's more chance of him knowing exactly what you should say or knowing somebody who knows something to say.
Huh. Because I just know that, you know, I am prone to just walk into these kind of things and be honest.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing.
Yeah. There's no place for that.
Because there's always a game.
No, I mean, Brett's family was insurance for years, What type, I don't know, but that's what I would be doing as soon as the show is over. I would message Brett, who's a lovely man and has been on the show.
No, he's real nice. I'll have to seek him out and see if he can give me any ideas because, you know, their first line of defense is they're supposed to say no.
That's not true. It really depends on your insurance.
No, I think every insurance is their first thing is to say no.
I don't know. I mean, for medical insurance, yeah, probably. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't want it. But I mean, what does your doctor say?
Well, they think I could still use some more sessions.
Of course, they have the interest in getting more money out of the insurance company.
Well, exactly. So, who do you believe?
Well, do you think you need more sessions?
My ouchie does. Yes.
Then why is this a game? Why doesn't your doctor call the insurance company?
Well, because they're an independent doctor. They're not supposed to talk to the... They know what physical therapy is going to say. They're going to say, yes, she should keep going. But the independent doctor works for the insurance company, and they're supposed to say, no, they don't want to pay for it No, we think that you've already reached your maximum therapeutic benefit.
Do you have another doctor?
No, it's the insurance company picked this guy who I don't know and said, go there or we'll cut you off. And if you go there and he checks you out, we still might cut you off.
But who's been doing the... So you just got to go to some guy who you don't even know and get his opinion?
Yeah.
That's so stupid. So
that's the name of the game. That's why I'm bringing it to the show, because the fixer of all things, what do you think?
I mean, if you're still injured, you're still injured. I mean, it depends on what your mobility is. I mean, that's a big part of physical therapy. I mean, he's going to ask you to demonstrate it, I'm guessing, you know. You should be able to do certain things if you're healed. It might be things that physical therapy won't treat. I mean, what I would probably do is I'd probably look up the doctor, see what type of reviews this guy has, see if he's a shyster or not. Probably do that. You know.
There's not like I could choose him or say no.
But you know what you're dealing with when you go in and go, oh, this guy's got a really bad reputation.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean if you're legitimately still hurt,
yeah.
I mean, if you're legitimately still hurt, then you still have to get physical therapy anyway, even if they don't cover
it. Yeah, I do.
So, but I would talk to Brett. I would also talk to a doctor. Do you have any doctor friends?
No.
No. You need to hang out with a better quality of people.
Oh, you know, I am lucky to have the quality of people that I do hang out with.
Yeah, it's not saying much.
No, I hang out with quality people. It's,
yeah, but nobody who's useful. You need to hang out like educated people, useful people, or people that are good with their hands and can fix shit. Those are the that's what you need in your life. Like people who can fix things and people who can solve things. That's what you need. Everybody else, like nobody needs a fucking influencer in their life. At no point, like a social media influencer, these people that make multi-million dollars. You at no point do you go, you know what? I really need somebody to make my couch go viral. You don't need that. But
you
could
certainly. I know these people.
But no, but what I'm saying, like the type of people you need. Like you don't need somebody who works at the animal shelter in your life. You don't need, like, there might be that one time when you would want to adopt a kitty or a puppy, but you don't need them. They're doing nothing for you. Now, a plumber, a doctor, a lawyer, a handyman, a painter, a roofer, these are people that you need in your life. Because at some point, if you are a homeowner, you will need these people. A lawyer, doctor, at some point you're going to need them. Even a policeman is good to know for security questions, as I've used. But no, you have musicians and comedians in your life and Ghostbusters, and quite honestly, all useless. All useless.
How dare you?
I consider myself among them. I am only somewhat useful because I can solve problems, but if you got a toilet running, I'm not your guy. And neither's your Ghostbuster, and neither is your husband's guitarist. So
yeah, I have a lack of plumbers. Wait a minute. I know somebody who knows plumbing.
Yes, he could get you parts. But he also lives far away. So
I know.
Yeah.
I know. If he didn't live so damn far, I could say, what is this part? Where do I get it?
You're
one of these.
You have a collection of useless broken toys.
I have eccentric friends.
Hold on. I'm not judging them as people. They're perfectly lovely. I'm just saying, as a matter of fact, for getting shit done, completely useless. As am I.
But the thing is that there's always, like, I have people who, now, I'm getting older, and my friends are getting older, and there's people who were very glad to help me with this, that, or the other thing, and now we're all broken.
Yeah, but no, but sometimes you just have a question, and
yeah,
and if it wasn't for me, you'd still have that question. Like for instance, my dad's a CPA. Completely useful. My cousin is an attorney. Completely useful. These are useful people. Do you understand what I'm saying? A drummer?
I know.
A drummer, though perfectly lovely, completely useless. Completely. And I adore your husband, but let's be honest, completely useless.
Well, you know, I think the mistake that we made is that we two completely useless people got to know each other, and now we can't do anything.
Yes, I completely. Which once again proves how important arranged marriages is. I'll tell you what: if we were on the shtetl, this unholy union between you and Mr. Helix never would have been allowed. Although at your advanced ages, maybe it would have been just to get you out of the house. So that's possible too. But
well, unholy union was the theme of our wedding.
I'm aware. But do you see what I'm saying? The two of you have amassed a collection of useless people, which is why you have to come here with these problems.
I know. You know what? I love my useless people.
I didn't.
I am one of them.
You keep on making it sound like I'm attacking them as human beings. I am not. Not in any way. I am just being, from a utilitarian standpoint, completely useless. That's all.
Well, you know, the thing is that anybody who has a skill or something like that if they were helping me, I would feel like I have to pay them to do it.
Yeah, but you know what? You would probably make them a cake, which made them violently ill, and you guys would call it even.
Are you suggesting I pour myself out to get work done around the house?
I said make a cake. I didn't say show some tits. I don't know what you're talking about. I said make a cake. That's all I said.
I didn't say that I could bake that well.
No, I know. Mr. Kumi still has the runs 12 years later.
Oh, God. I know. That was terrible. That was terrible.
But for
the listeners that don't know, I made a birthday cake that was like a big brownie with designs on it for our friend Anthony Cumia. And the day after I did that, he came down with a terrible, terrible cold and was off the air.
No, I think it was stomach issues.
Stomach issues?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
Oh no, I thought it was he lost his voice.
No, everything. I think it was stomach issues. That's why I said you made a cake.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Kat forgot in the gun cake.
Oopsie. Oh, yes, it was a gun cake.
Of course it was.
That's what he likes. I wanted to give the man what he liked.
And and you thought he likes to read, so give him a lot more free time to do it while sitting in the throne. Yeah, it's funny now.
Well, you know, Typhoid Rifle Mary, that was me.
Yeah, Typhoid Helix over there. But yeah, I would say in this situation, Brett is as close to useful as you're going to get. You did not even remember that Brett is in your world, but that's what I would do. And quite frankly, I would start making like these like some internet scammers and start friend requesting and following various people on Instagram, not to hook up with them, just to include some useful people in your world.
Like, are you an electrician? We should be pals.
yeah. Like. Listen, I would have saved a lot of money if I had more useful people in my life.
I know minor carpentry things.
Actually, you know what? That's not true, because my wife's ex-boyfriend from high school actually did some work around the house. He's a handyman and a pool guy, and the guy who used to be her firmer boss, still works with him, just doesn't work under him anymore, is a pool guy. So those are examples of useful people.
I know how to cut quarter round and do it and nail it to the floor.
Okay.
And edging.
Okay, well, there you go. But yeah, there's clearly nobody useful in your circle.
See, my dad was the most useful person I know, but he's long gone.
Yeah.
I need my dad back because he was a fountain of useful knowledge. And once I got, you know, he was way gone by the time I got a house. So it's like, bah. I can't summon him with a Ouija. There's no way to get him back to help. I need to borrow a dad.
Well, you need to borrow a useful dad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I know it's probably pretending that, you know, they're all useful, but I know they're not. But I mean, like, I need a useful dad kind of guy that to teach us stuff. Actually, you know what? On YouTube. No, it's on Instagram. There's a great guy. I forget what his handle is, but something about your stepdad or your something like that. And it's a guy that teaches ostensibly young men, but also women, how to do things around the house and how to do useful things in case there was nobody in your life to teach you those skills. And that guy is really, really very clever.
Well, there you go. YouTube is your daddy.
But, yeah, it is.
But there we go. So that's what we do. I'm not going to wait for Joe any longer to discuss these other things. It's already 20 minutes into the show. So
okay.
Gonna have to move on with other things. So Joe asked me. Excuse me, my voice is already shot. Joe asked me about the snow thrower. So here's what happened with the snow thrower. Because remember I told you, Jetsy don't work in the winter. He's not that type of snow thrower. He identifies as a lawnmower.
He just doesn't like really heavy, wet snow.
Right. So, wow, my voice is really shot tonight. Okay. So we were away this weekend, Joe and I, and I guess we got more snow. So
was it romantic weekend?
It's always romantic. Lovely hotel. So the wife has to do the shoveling. Like, what did we get this weekend? Probably like 3 inches, something like that, of snow. So again, now the snow thrower chute is completely lubed. I told her do it the day before. Does it? Snow thrower doesn't work. Jetsy ain't having that. So now she has to shovel all this mess herself, which is a massive driveway, as we've talked about before.
That's huge. That's terrible.
Right. So she's shoveling and everything. She's shoveling down by the garage, which is the hardest part, down by the garage. It's the biggest. And she's making her way up. She's been out there 2 hours. 2 hours, she tells me. And I guess she's getting towards the top of the driveway. And a neighbor comes by who we haven't met yet with his, I guess he has like a 28 inch like mouth of a snow thrower. We have like 6 inches and he just does the rest of the driveway like in 5 minutes. Bing, 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 like up and down.
Oh my God. That's so nice.
Very nice. And they're talking snow blowers and everything. So she made him a cake on my suggestion. And she brought that over today. So today we had to tackle the snow. So before the rumor was, oh, the snow's, it's a wet snow. We need the perfect, you know, I'm a snowblower, but I'll only work if the conditions are right and the snow's just to my liking because I'm a diva snowblower. I can't be out there with the regular snowblowers, the riffraff. No, I'm a special snowblower. I'm garage kept now. I won't do what those snowblowers that hang out underneath a cover all winter do. I won't do that anymore. We're moving on up. We have a bigger driveway, and now it's going to cost you more if you want me to do my job.
You would have the diva snowblower.
Yeah.
But I've lived through that. I understand.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to the top of the driveway because, you know, the plows do what plows do, and they plow you in. So I start doing that. I leave my wife. I leave her. The snowblower starts up right away. She's working on a strip. I see it working. So I'm going to work on the top of the driveway, doing all that, get down to the middle of the driveway. I say, huh, I don't hear the snowblower. I wonder what's going on. I thought there'd be much more progress than this. I wonder what's going on. So I walk down by the garage. I ain't using the snowblower. It got clogged again. Son of a bitch.
Hi, Joe.
So I text with my lawnmower guy who I bought this used snowblower from. He's like, well, are the blades turning? No, it's clogged with snow. They're not turning. Why would they turn? They're tired. So they almost did a couple of feet of work. They're done. So
wait a second. You said that you bought a used snowblower from him.
Yes.
Bought a useless snowblower from him. You didn't hear him right.
Yeah, no, it had worked. But so he's like, well, try unclogging it. So I don't unclog the chute. I unclog the blades, and there's like a little bit of snow left and like 2 or 3 inches of snow. What? Lost phone contact. Of course you did. Now I gotta call you both back. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Why would shit work properly?
Yes. Phew.
And we're back. And we're back.
Hi, Tip. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. So now I unclog the blades, and there's like a little strip left that's 2 or 3 inches, and now the snowblower wants to work. Well, it's almost done. You know, I might as well lend a hand so you don't think I'm completely useless. Here, let me do the final easy strip that you could have done yourself, you stupid asshole you. Now that you two both risked a heart attack and a bad back, let me chime in because I don't want to wind up in the trash.
Yeah.
So now I'm texting with the snowblower guy. He's like, well, it's hard to know. It could be like a loose belt or something. He's like, it's hard to know unless I lay my eyes on it. All right.
Yes.
I'm like, how much is it for me to bring it to you for you to look at? It's $40. So I gotta bring this to him, which is cheaper than $3,000 for a new one.
Yeah.
So now, yeah. So don't worry. I guarantee you, he'll be able to fix it for like $150 on top of the $40. I'll be $200 in the hole, and the snowblower will be feeling good for August. It is going to be a humdinger in August. And then come next February when it snows again. No, it's chilly outside. I'll wait here for you assholes. That's what's going to happen again.
Oh, it's just going to be moments before it's all cozily wrapped up in its little cover in the garage again.
So, I mean, should I just get the new snowblower? Should I just be done with it, or?
Well, you got to see how it works. Let me tell you something. Well, you know, I found the information because I'm always curious. I wanted to find the information on why the chute would be clogging. And in the meantime, they bring up all these other videos of problems with snowblower. I just bought my snowblower. It's brand new. It won't start. And I'm like, I'm just getting pissed. I'm feeling the guy's frustration that he just bought. The thing is brand new, and it doesn't start. Yeah.
The first one we had when we were at the other house, I bought that brand new, and that thing never worked.
Really?
Yeah, we've had terrible luck. This one was working up until this year, and, you know, last year I had to deal with, like, the rats, the mice making a home in it, but it's in a garage now. It should be happy, but instead it's more of a problem. So,
you know, I never knew anybody that got a snowblower.
Now you know why.
Works fine, it's great, it's nice.
Yeah.
No, they're all kinds of trouble. I used to have to snowblow. We had a a paved bit of long driveway, and then there was a section that it was rocks that, because of the town and how much of the property you're allowed to pave and you're not, and blah, blah. So we had this area that was just covered with crushed rock, and we had to, like plow it. But the thing is that if a rock got stuck in there, there's this little shear pin that would shear off to save itself from completely breaking. And we went through more shear pins than anybody ever should. I had a whole bag of them because every 2 minutes, one of those friggin' pieces of crushed rock would get jammed up in there. Oh, it drove me insane.
I think he said that was a possible issue too. So I don't know. Then I got to load it up in the back of the wife's car. Thing's heavy as hell. Got to drag it, you know, half an hour away. That's just a fucking thing. But I asked the wife, you want to go this week? Oh, this is a bad week. So why don't we wait till the spring and let it rot again? That's what we're going to wind up doing.
Yeah.
So fucking
yeah. And also the fun part of trying to keep the right mix of gas and oil in those things. Son of a bitch.
Well, no, I just empty out all the gas at the end of the year. I'll just let it run until it runs out.
Yeah.
But, all right.
You know, that's what you're supposed to do.
The thing about your driveway is you need a snowblower. You can't, I mean, to do that by hand, you're going to die. You know?
No, Joe, evidently not. I haven't yet.
Not yet.
But, yeah, if I lived in my old house, I'd have a snowblower. This one, I really don't need one yet. You know, I almost broke down and got one of those Snow Joes. It was like for, what are you, like $289 or something like that. A load. I'm like, you know what? It's almost March. I got to watch my money. I don't need it now. I'll think about it next year. I'm another year older. You know, when I get to 70, I'll probably be in Florida or South Carolina. But still, you know, I don't need it yet. My body will tell me. And, oh, boy, it let me know. Because let me tell you something. I shoveled out twice last year. I had tennis elbow. I couldn't walk. My back was screwed up, you know. So I almost broke down. Then and I'm like, all right, let me see how the winter goes. So it's been kind of mild this year, so I'm like, all right. I get, and to me, winter doesn't end till the second week in April. So
yeah.
We're almost there.
Yeah, I'll wait for like Memorial Day to like if hopefully these will be on sale or something. But my wife was pretty sore from doing it on a Saturday without me Yeah.
Oh all right. Yeah. It's a killer.
So now my
it was snowing sideways today.
That's fine.
Sideways.
All right, now my use stink, which Joe knows about.
Oh.
So this goes out to Onyx and Breezy Animal Rescue, whatever. Yeah, Joe knows. What the hell? Okay. So I get a call. I get referred from one of my venues. They want to put together a show. They used to do shows with somebody else who was charging more than I was. But you know, the last time he showed up late and they felt like they were taken for granted. This whole sob story and everything. Don't have a lot of money. Of course you don't. How much would you like? So I give them the number, which is a fine number. She's like, yeah, and everything. She's like, and everything will be good with this number. Yeah, if I give you the number, that's the number. Oh, what about lights and sound and a stage and this, that, thing? Because the other venue said, you know, they'd have to rent it and everything. I go, listen, if I get the gig, I have a lot of the stuff. I'll throw it in anyway. I'm being a nice guy here because it's an animal rescue. Oh, right. you know, I'm very loyal, looking forward to this. I'd like somebody. Can you get a female comic? I go, sure. I have just the person in mind. She loves animals. As a matter of fact, I got my cat from her. She'd be great. She's very funny. Oh, can we see videos? Yes. So first I send them a video of me. They like me. Yay for me. I'm a fucking superstar. So then I asked the female comedian, hey, do me a favor, send me a video, which I never do. Usually, listen, tell me what you want. I'll get you the talent. You'll look like a hero. How about we do that? But I don't do that this time. I'm trying to be a nice guy. So she's having computer issues. Pip can relate. So she's having computer issues, and she finally gets me a clip after much effort on her part. I send them the clip. I don't hear. I check in. Well, we couldn't really hear it. Really, I hear it fine. The clip's on. Do you hear people laughing? You hear people laughing? Then it's going well, stupid. All right. So I go back. I go back to this comedian. Listen, they can't hear. I heard it fine. Well, you got anything else? Oh, at first she sent me something, and it had like a conilingus joke in it. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? she
are
called,
you trying to ruin this? Are you trying?
I mean, it's like a it's like a 5-minute clip she's sending me, and that's part of it. Really? Is that what we're doing? I go, send me something else, will you?
How about the animal testing joke? That goes over. Oh, wait.
Just
nah, I can't do that.
So I go back. So she puts captions in the thing. So, you know, so people, the subtitles. So I send back the clip that I approve with the subtitles. Well, some people on the board liked it. Some other people on the board didn't like it. Have anybody else? Yes. So I asked Joe, among other comics, do me a favor, send me clips. So send me what you got. I don't go through the clips. I don't give a shit. I looked at Joe's. I'm like, wow, he's half the man he used to be, and that's some old shit, and he tells it better now. But if this is what Joe's sending me, then this is what I'm sending out. You know, so Joe's got a 10-year-old clip. Somebody else has a 6-year-old clip. You know, now to be fair, we had COVID, so that took knocked a couple of years off of everybody because nobody was doing anything. You want a Zoom video?
I want to interrupt 1 second. And Davin, with my clips, are absolutely right. And I'm like, holy cow, I don't have anything new. The damn club looked like a Hollywood set this weekend. I filmed both shows. Like, holy cow, I didn't realize that.
So I send them clips. And everything. So I talked to, it's a husband and wife. I talked to the guy on Sunday night. And I just want you to know we're definitely going with you. I guarantee you. Just, you know, don't worry about it. Fine. You guarantee me. I have the date blocked out. Fine. Then later on in the week, I talked to the wife. Listen, I want you to know, I don't want to be a pain in the neck. You kind of do. If you didn't want to be a pain in the neck, I'd have a contract and I would have my comics already and we'd be done with this shit and I wouldn't have to think about it until later on in the year. But you kind of want to be a pain in the neck. Fine. But listen.
If you don't want to be a pain in the neck, stop talking right now.
Stop talking. But you can't say that when you're trying to close a deal.
Yeah, believe me, I know.
Yeah.
Now I will say it to an audience member, but that's because I already have that deal. But...
Well, you can't say that on a date either.
Well, that's why. That's what
the deal. Stop talking right now.
That's why I only date exclusively online from people who I know just want me for my money. I find I could say pretty much whatever I want. Worst case scenario, they leave. It was going to end that way anyway. But all right, so fine. So get all right. I like this comic and that comic. Oh well, which one do you want? Oh, I have to pick one. Well, this was for the middle spot. I mean, you know, I thought I was going to be able to pick the host on myself. Well, I don't want to insult anybody. I go, let me see what I could do if I get through. Oh, by the way, one of the board members asked about Jessica Kirsten, who's a well-known comic, Gary Gulman, who's a well-known comic, and Orny Adams, who's not nearly as well-known, but he's on the West Coast. Do you think we could get them? Not for this budget. I mean, yeah. I mean, I can reach out to them. I don't know what they charge, but I can reach out to them. Okay, because, you know, I can't make they're board members and it's volunteers. So, you know, you have to take what they say into consideration. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's your charity. You just say, listen, this isn't a fundraiser. This is our first event back. I got a budget I'm happy with. We'll talk about it next time. That's what you do say. That's what you could say, but that's not what they fucking say. So I know a couple of people, as it turns out, who know Jessica. I reach out to Jessica, go back and forth with Jessica, and she doesn't get back right away. She's a busy woman. I get it. You'd have to talk to my agents, William Morris. I'd be blocking out, you know, a whole Saturday, a whole weekend for it. I know, Jessica. Just what's the fee? I understand. Just tell me what you need. I'm not trying to negotiate you down, Jessica. I swear to God, I totally get it. Like, I'm not
name your price, and yeah, because yeah, you are. You know,
yeah,
you're a pretty big headliner. Yeah, you know, just name your price.
Yeah, that's what it was. I wasn't trying to give her a sob story or anything of the sort. Like, just tell me the price.
But the kittens.
Yeah, but the thing about it is we discussed it during breakfast is you get the price. Oh, my God. Well, that's what it's going to cost.
So I go back and forth with Jessica about 7 emails, and, you know, she's very nice. Oh, I just realized. I didn't know it at the time. I'm booked that weekend. Okay. You're booked that way. At the same time, I get an email from Onyx and Breezy. One of the board members said... that he'll procure the entertainment and get the comics and pay for everything. I wanted to tell you as soon as possible. We won't need you. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Onyx and Breezy.
Wow.
Isn't that a bullshit move? That's a fucking bullshit move.
I emailed him back, and Joe was next to me. We went over the email. Let me see if I can find it. I didn't pull it up because I didn't know I was going to talk about it. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Bear with me.
You know, people just don't give a crap about how much of your time they waste. They just figure that, oh, well, it's okay. We can go back and forth and back and forth, and I can make you jump through hoops, and then at the last minute say no thank you.
Here is his email, and then I will give you my email. Davin, I want to let you know, as soon as we found out that one of our board members has decided to pay for and take care of finding the talent, thank you for your time. All the best. To which I responded, and I went through it several times with Joe. Joe was very, very helpful. Because, you know, you go, all right, am I going to respond to this at all? Am I going to call them? Am I going to give them a really blistering email? What am I going to do with this? Because I'm not happy. I am not happy because I spent a lot of time and effort. Comics sent me shit. You know, that's their job too. But still, I went through a lot more hoops than I normally do.
Right.
This is what I wrote to. I go, you assured me I was doing the gig. I've been in discussions with Jessica as his wife Wanda requested. I made the effort to submit videos for you to review. I did all this because Wanda gave me her word and talked to me about loyalty. Now after all that I'm out? What about my time and efforts based on our discussions and your guarantee earlier in this week I had the gig? I have to be honest. Wanda told me how taken for granted the other comedian made her feel last time. I named him, but I'm not going to name him here. It's irrelevant. I have gone out of my way to try and accommodate you and your changing requests for this show. I feel like you are taking me and my time for granted. Additionally, I turned down 2 shows this week for the date I held for you based on your word. For the above reasons, I feel I should be compensated for my time and efforts on your behalf based on your word. I've heard nothing.
Of course not. They're not even going to contact you again.
No, because they're pieces of shit.
Now, also, this board, and you get this all the time with this board member. Well, we have a guy on the board that he'll say he'll get the entertainment, and meanwhile, he names the price. He can't get the people he wants for that price, and now he's going to be screwed. You know, and I told Davin, I said, hey, look, if they do want you to do it again, fortunately, it's another $200.
Well, here's what's going to happen. If this guy can't find talent, they'll hire some other comedy agency, and it'll probably be some of my friends that are doing the gig, and that'll be that. I mean, I could have bet on that and not said anything, said, all right, let me know if you need me again. I could have done that, but you know what? I really don't want to deal with them. Fuck them.
No.
Absolutely.
That was some horseshit.
Yeah. Don't tell me. Don't tell me you guarantee me I have the gig. What they should have said was, listen, this guy's going to procure the rest of the talent. We're going to keep you as a comic because we like you, and we're going to get some other talent. You should have worked with me. You should have done something. Don't waste my time. I reach out to the person you asked for on your behalf. Thank God she is booked that weekend, because it would have been even worse if she did, we did get a number and then she did hold the date for me and then this happened. It's just completely disrespectful.
Oh, yeah. God, it would have been so embarrassing.
And this one's going to, and she's going to complain to me about other animal rescues and other people, and they're going to treat people like this. Fuck you, Onyx and Breezy.
Yeah, and you want to know something? She's not going to complain, because they're going to do that show, and that show is going to be absolutely garbage, because the guy's probably going to lowball. They can't find anybody. They're going to bring in a bunch of guys that have been doing it for a year, and it's going to stink on ice. It's going to be like, you know.
No, I think they'll find somebody. They've had big name acts before. I think they'll find somebody. Listen, I can find out who's going to be there, because it's at the venue where I produce the shows, and I got a good relationship with them.
I would be interesting to see who they get.
You might get a call. Who the fuck knows? I don't know. It's just completely disrespect. It's ingenuous. It's disingenuous. That's what it is.
It's bullshit if they handle it totally wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, they wasted your time. They lied to you. They nickel and dime you about everything. And it usually happens with a lot of these groups that there's always this guy on the board that feels that they could do. There was only one, and I, like I told you, there was only one person on a show that I used to produce for my buddy, and the only reason I did it was for my buddy is that my buddy left the board, and this girl calls me and goes, well, I'm going to be taking over for right now, and I've got this guy, who I'm going to use. Do you think they're okay? And they actually are very good acts, and I didn't mind, because basically I was just doing it as a favor for my friend, because I think it's an absolute pain in the ass to produce a gig. So I'm like, no, that's fine. But I mean, I would go to hell, you know. And very rarely, this one woman was the absolute rarity that she actually procured guys that were actually really good guys I would have hired, you know. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Just I remember her telling me, the woman, you know, I like animals more than I like people. I don't want to get into that. I could see why, because if they're like you, who can blame you?
Would this be a bad time to bring up a middling on that show?
That's, listen, that's you and the audience's problem.
Go, oh, that bitch. Yeah, she puts out the saucer of milk whenever she wants. Doesn't come out in the cold. Says she loves it. Yeah, we get it.
So, Pip, do you think I did the right thing by sending that email?
Yes, I do. Because I think that first of all, because you wanted to stick up for yourself, and that's absolutely right. But the other thing is that they don't seem to understand the kind of time and effort it takes and the hoops they're making you jump through. And maybe they'll consider that next time they go out and look for somebody else. They'll stop treating, you know, people who are entertainers and people who are producing shows like shit.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll give them a horrible Yelp review. All right, on to the next.
And
the
foot, hold on, one more thing. I love when they always think, well, can you get Vic DiBattista, or can you get there, you get Kevin. What do you think? This is an episode of the Brady Bunch? No. For your bunch, no.
Yeah, really?
It's like
did you get Davy Jones?
Yeah, they're right.
Yeah, he's not doing anything.
Yeah, he's not doing anything.
It's like, listen, just call me up and tell me you want these comics and ask me what it's going to cost, instead of, like, giving me the sob story. How about we do that?
Yeah. No, that's useless. And I only took the gig because I thought that I was going to be speaking to cats. Now that I know it's people, I'm out.
Yeah. All right. So Joe and I work together this weekend. I wake up early on Friday morning to do morning radio to promote our shows, which I guess is on. I guess the morning radio show is on a Fox News affiliate. I don't know. Anyway, it was a live. we were on location at a diner, so they're bringing people in and out. I'm not talking a lot of the time, which is, you know,
right.
it's like, wait a minute, but I'm here and I can help create gold, and I did. I can create good radio just by taking the other side of things. But whatever. I look up, and Joe knows this, and so is the audience on Friday night. But I look up at the. At the TV, and they got Fox and Friends on, and they got Brian Kilmeade, who's one of the hosts, having a catch, a baseball catch, and a Little League field with Governor Ron DeSantis, just two guys throwing the ball around wearing suit jackets. And I said, I said to Joe, who is this appealing to? Who is going, that looks natural. I'm sure they were just strolling by a Little League field with the old ball gloves, you know, just shooting the shit. And like, first of all, if you were, you would take off your suit jacket. You wouldn't throw the ball in your suit jacket.
No. That's totally unnatural.
Yeah, it's complete bullshit.
Yeah, like we stopped by and we wanted, I mean, and the funny thing is that, you know, David goes, so why do they do this? I go, because people buy into this shit. I go, they're so fucking gullible.
We were driving to a press conference, and all of a sudden we saw a field, and we couldn't resist. We had to jump out of the car and play catch right now.
Is somebody saying, you know what, I want Ron DeSantis to be my president so me and him can have a catch in the Rose Garden? Look at the way he throws. Who's saying that?
Oh, he's an every guy. He likes sports, and he'll even stop and, you know, hit a couple of balls while he's even wearing a Super Caesar. Oh, shut up, you gullible asshole.
I know, really.
All right. So we have the show on Friday night, and Joe has this Fetterman joke, and when Joe's on stage, he actually does look like Fetterman. And he talks about Joe talks about Fetterman not being able to work because he's depressed, and the audience likes it. They're going along with him. Joe is very upset that he's that Fetterman's out of work for depression. And I say to Joe, I go, I don't care what you do, makes no difference to me. But you're going to have the type of conversation that I have from time to time with audience members. Somebody's going to complain about that.
Oh, I'll have it. I'll have it in a heartbeat. And I said that. The only thing was, I couldn't. I was going to send it, work on a clip from it. But the thing about it was, I had my memory from another gig at McGuire's, and I didn't have enough. Memory in my my iPad to do the Saturday night set. I really wanted to do it because I got to update my stuff, so I actually didn't use that. But I'm sure they could try to recall it. But I don't know. But the only reason I didn't post it is I had to make space on the computer. But I got to tell you something. That club was so nice.
Hold on. Well, I didn't get to Saturday yet, so let me tell Saturday. But Pip, do you think somebody's going to complain about Joe making fun of Fetterman not being able to work because he's depressed?
I don't think so.
Oh, really? I think so. I think there's gonna be some mental health is not something to be joked about. How dare you? I had clinical depression. My mom committed suicide from clinical depression. That conversation's coming.
You know what? I'm more happy to have it. When you want, you have a stroke, you insist on still running. The people are stupid enough to elect you. You get in, and now you're depressed. It's almost like Santos. In a way, it's a lie. It, you know, I mean, it's a blatant lie, but it's almost the same thing. You perpetuate yourself to want to get into a job, and you got it. And, you know, now you don't, you know, you can't.
Well, the guy had a stroke. I mean, the guy had a stroke, and he was recovering. That's not the same as clinical depression.
During the debate, I mean, this is what you get.
Well, if the Republicans had ran somebody who...
I want somebody on the job. Sorry.
If the Republicans had ran somebody for Senate in Pennsylvania that wasn't from New Jersey and wasn't a TV star, they'd probably have that seat right now. And Mitch McConnell knew that, but, you know, they went with the Trump choice, Dr. Oz. Anybody, a medium-level qualified Republican would be in office right now if they didn't run a TV star from New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
Yeah, believe me, I'm shaking my finger at them reasons.
Okay. So it's not like the fine folks of Pennsylvania had a really great choice this year, this time around. Now, Fetterman would have been fine if he didn't suffer the stroke. He accomplished a lot. He was popular. He suffered a stroke. And, you know, supposedly you could recover from it. But, you know, I guess it was too late for him to pull out. The people of Pennsylvania got screwed this time around. You know, one guy got sick, and the other guy never should have been running. So that's I feel bad for Pennsylvania. They're not for the next 6 years. Well, from the beginning till right now, and we'll see how long it goes. They have not gotten the representation that they deserve. We'll see. We'll see if he bounces back. We'll see. But right so far, not a great start. All right, so. Okay. So that was Friday night. So I do the drag queen joke that you both saw die a horrible, horrible death. I did not even get the Pip Helix a laugh to save the bit laugh.
I'm sorry, I don't even remember how it played out, but
here's how it played out. What you hear right now, that was the audience's reaction, and this. Nodding. That's what I saw. So some silence and some nodding. That's how the comedy bit played out the first time I unveiled it. Okay.
Yeah. So what I told Davin is we discussed the joke, and I say what you got to do. He did a setup where he made the whole thing of the drag queens silly. Made it silly, a silly scenario. And I was telling him, I go, well, Friday, you were kind of like putting out your opinion. But you got to take your opinion and make it silly, where you could be them, and me included, where I don't think this is, they shouldn't be in, but if you put a scenario that's ridiculous in there, I still have my position, but I'm going to laugh, and that's what he did.
Well, the scenario was ridiculous the first time. I did not have great command of it, of the material the first time, but Joe did give me a line on this show last week, which I did use, which got me a laugh earlier in the bit. And then, you know, I had a better command of it. I still had an opinion. It did okay. It got some laughs. Like, okay.
Okay.
Okay. This is second time out of the box, getting laughs. You know, I'm happy with this. And it wasn't a huge crowd or anything, but it was good. I was happy.
Yeah, I sat there in the back, and I'm like, I'll be damned. All right. Good.
Yeah. Well, good. I don't even remember how it, you know, like what happened or whatever, but it's. Yeah, sorry, I couldn't throw you a bone.
That's all right. So then, Saturday night, Saturday my ex-girlfriend is coming by with her new boyfriend. I saw her last year when I was at this club with her boyfriend, who was a real not good guy. I'll just leave it at that. He kind of treated her the way she treated me. This is the one who wrote those letters that would read on our anti-Valentine's Day show. This is the author of those letters. So now I'm like, I need to keep her and Joe away from each other before they start collaborating again, you know.
Oh,
yeah, you know, I didn't want to let her know that Joe was a big fan of her work. And I didn't want her to know Joe's work, lest she become a big fan of his work. So
that's like if my friend Lenore comes by your show, I want to keep you two away. Always been my harshest critic, so yeah, we don't need you two teaming up.
I need to have a chat with Lenore.
So
I want you and Lenore, and we're going to add Laura from the day program to read my eulogy and watch you try to struggle the three of you saying nice shit.
Oh, I forgot to play the You Stink music. That was a bad job by me. Anyway, all right. So there's the extra. I think there's extra pressure when there's somebody you know there, especially like an ex or something. I think there's extra pressure.
Yeah. Yep.
So I felt the extra pressure. So Joe goes up, and Joe's having a great set. They're eating up his right wing point of view stuff, making fun of Biden. They're loving it. And you got to remember, I was told by the booker, nobody draws there unless you're a name or a Republican. This is that gig.
Oh boy.
Well, half of us is there.
Devin got mad at me because I did a joke about Hochul. I go, when is the House going to lean on Larry?
No, I know. I didn't get mad at you. I just don't understand. He's calling Governor Hochul a witch. Every time he doesn't like a female politician, they're a witch. I'm like, I don't understand that.
Apparently the audience did. They laughed like hell.
They did. They did. They were wrong, but they did.
Except I go, when she comes up to the podium, he plays.
So Joe's having this great set. I go up to one of the comics who's there. I go, who was there last night. I think it was, he didn't actually go on stage, but he's a comic. I go, or maybe I said it to Josh, the host. I go.
That was the, what the heck's his name?
Doesn't matter.
Daywatch.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
No, not him. The guy that was there the night before who watched the show.
Okay, right. That would be the MC was Josh Wilbur.
Yeah, no, but I was talking about anyway, it doesn't matter. So somebody who was there the night before, I go, well, looks like the drag queen joke's going to be a tough slog tonight. this is going to be.
You have to make the punch so ridiculous that you can be the staunchest Republican and go, Jesus, I got laugh.
Listen, let me tell you something, my friend. Today's staunchest Republican, they're little bitches too. It used to be I would come on this show and tell anybody to ask, oh, I'd rather do a Republican fundraiser than a Democratic fundraiser, because the Democrats have all sticks in their ass and they get offended and the Republicans are there to have a good time. That's not the case anymore. They're all a bunch of bitches now. These are not your these are not fuck your feeling Republicans anymore. These are fuck your feelings but pay attention to mine Republicans now.
Like I say, everybody's in their own camp now. So if you say something against the camp, then everybody gets furious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Joe's having one of those Joe sets that he has on occasion where they're really into him. And I'm thinking, this is not the best opening act I could bring for me. Why do I do this to myself? This is not, I don't feel like working this hard tonight. They're eating what he's saying. I got nothing for these people. And then,
what do you say once in a while I have a good set?
No, I didn't say once in a while you have a good set. I said once in a while you have these sets where they're eating out of the palm of your hand with all this political stuff. That's what.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
See,
they're lonely nights, but I get it.
No, there's a difference between having a good set and go, oh, they're buying his angry nonsense. Ugh, I hate these people. There's a difference. You were having that set, which is good for you, but I'm thinking, oh, these fucking people. Why do I bring him? Isn't there a nice liberal comic I can bring along? Don't need this.
I know, an uphill slog.
I don't need this. I don't need this stuff. So he gets a standing ovation. Great. Fucking wonderful. This is what I got to fucking deal. I'm like, fine. So I go up, and at one point I was doing something about Trump, and I saw a guy who was sitting in the front get up, take his beer, and walk out. Now this guy had come up to Joe before my set and told Joe how much he enjoyed Joe. And I'm thinking that this is definitely a right-wing guy. I just walked a guy with a Trump joke. Of course I did. Wouldn't be the first time. But, I'm like, yep. Did I just do that? As I'm doing the show, this is what I'm thinking. But finally, because he's part of a large table, I asked the table where he sat. I go, did he leave because of the Trump joke? I just had to ask. I mean, things are going. It's like, no, I'm right here. I couldn't hear you, so I moved back. I'm like, oh. Okay, I didn't walk him. Yeah, he was. Oh, I didn't walk him. He's still there, and he's having fun, and he's yelling at me, so I can hear him. So now I'm goofing on him. Like, I feel a little better now. Listen, I walk people, but I'm never happy unless they're assholes. I don't want to walk them. But So he's still there. So he's still there. So I do the drag queen joke, and this is the third time out of the box Joe has seen all three incarnations of it. Joe was a little bit of an inspiration for it, as we had the 30-minute knockdown drag, drag out battle. a huddle a who. So this time I have the best command of the material yet. I am passionate about it. I still have an opinion about how absurd it is that I think that people are afraid of drag queens. I mean, there's still work that needs to be done. Gets very good laughter. I'm like, okay, all right.
Oh, good.
Here's the thing with the joke. When he was doing it two Fridays ago, he's like, well, the absurdity of people thinking a drag queen. And meanwhile, my opinion, where the hell are you going to think of that? Let me tell you, however, you go in, that's what I was telling him. I go, if you go in and give silly similes on how ridiculous you feel it is, people are going to go, yeah, Jesus Christ, that's funny. That's what he did. And the joke is good. There's a couple of things he could trim down, but it's just a matter of work, which will, and the joke will work fine. But and it's just it, and you want to know something? It goes back to when you see all these B-list celebrities want to be a comic. Oh, I think I'm funny. I go up because they think, you know, it's like being a Walmart greeter, where you don't realize that the work that goes into it, your conviction on a feeling about a topic, and your conviction on goofing on it, and the process of getting your ass handed to you in the process, and then the thrill of making the damn thing work. You know,
yes.
People don't have an ink that don't do this, don't have the slightest, because anybody, nobody can play a song. Most people can't play a song. Most people can't, you know, run a marathon. Most people can't, but everybody can tell a joke, and it gets what we do that's tainted. Because, yeah, you can see, you know, all right, two guys walk into a bar, but to sit there and write a joke about a conviction you have and making it work because you're pointing out the absurdity of you that you feel about something and making it work, that's art, man. That's where the work comes in.
Yeah, that's the thrill of it.
So it's kind of cool to like see the joke steadily improve. Doesn't mean it'll work the fourth time out of the box, but I'm like, okay, that's the way I need to deliver. Then I'm trying to wrap up, but I see the checks are still coming out. Well, yeah, are the checks out yet? No, we're still doing it. There was a problem with the computers, so I did extra time. I don't know how much time I did. I feel like I was up there for a while though.
Well, what are you doing? I guess you were supposed to do 45. Josh was telling me you're doing 45, so I guess you probably did 50 to an hour.
Yeah, probably around an hour.
I don't know, because I was packing my stuff up, and then I was, you know, I went to get a drink, and then I wanted to get your stuff out and set up and roll. So I really wasn't in the room that, you know, towards the end that much.
So so I do extra time to give them a chance to pretty much get all of them out, and you know, so they were so I got a standing ovation. So there you go.
Oh wow! Yes. Great.
Yeah. So I got a standing ovation, which was nice. Afterwards, we chat with my ex and her new boyfriend, and she seems very happy. So that makes me happy. Why you make that look? Why is that? You made a look, Pip.
I was just it's awkward to me talking to exes mine if their like person, their new person is with them. So I was just like, it was secondhand discomfort.
Well, you got.
It depends how much water under the bridge is gone. Because I've done
exes
and stuff like that. And she was, you know, her husband and her, or I think is her boyfriend or husband?
Boyfriend. They just started dating a few months ago.
Okay, yeah. The boyfriend is a very nice guy. She's a nice woman. A very pleasant conversation.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, she comes to me for advice. So she actually not too long ago was thinking about her ex and should I leave her current to go with the ex? And I'm like, no, this is a good guy. So I told her boyfriend, I go, listen, man, I'm your biggest advocate. I'm pushing because she tells me how he treats her and how she's happy. And I'm like, stop it. Stop the insane. And that's what it is. Sometimes you get addicted to the adrenaline of the nonsense. And when you have that, you have scammer boyfriends and girlfriends because you can have all the nonsense you want. You can have all that drama and I get caught up in it. And sometimes it makes me happy and sometimes it makes me mad. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything because it's complete bullshit. But when you do it with your real life, there's repercussions. It affects shit.
Yeah, in your real life, you don't want that drama.
I don't want that. Some people do. But it's very weird because the advice I've given her, how I was giving her how to deal with her ex and how to get past him and move into something normal, is kind of like how I dealt with her. She's like, this is how you dealt with me, isn't it? I go, yeah.
That's how you dealt with me. Well, that's refreshingly honest.
Yeah. No, she knows she was a problem.
Okay.
Well, at least someone does. I was telling Davin a story. I was at Joe Cumey was having a party years ago. And Joe used to date my ex-girlfriend, friend. And she came by to say hello. She brought my ex-girlfriend with me. So, with her. So I'm there with Joanne, and Joanne's like, you're eating too much. I go, look, you've got other problems, you know? So I go, look, you've got to be shitting me. How did she get here? Probably by motor car, but I don't know. But for meanwhile, my ex was asking, you know, telling me, whatever happened to us? I go, you wanted to get an apartment. I didn't have the money. You know, we just got back from here, blah, blah, blah. That wasn't true. I go, it was true. No, it's not. And I go, look, I just fought with the other one in the car. I'm not going down memory lane with you yet, okay? I'm fighting in real time with the one over by the sandwich, okay?
It's like, oh, all right, what are we doing now? What did we do in the past? What are we doing now? Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, the old wounds get opened up. But I got to tell you something about this weekend. Usually when you work a weekend, the hotel's the staff at the club is the audiences are okay, the giggers are, everything was A+. The audiences were great. The staff at the place could not have been nicer. And they put us in this really great hotel. And the guys who were working with Josh Wilbert and Jay Watts were really cool, the other guys there. They put us up at the Home Suite, which is actually a Hilton hotel. So if you're up in the area, support Fat Cats. It's a great club, great time. I can't wait to get back there.
So for a little bow on this, I get an email, I get a Facebook message, excuse me, from Jay Watts on Sunday, and he's got a picture of me on stage. He goes, this was the highlight. I go, this was the highlight. I go, what joke was I doing where this was the highlight? The drag queen joke.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh,
so wow. That lets me know I'm delivering it well, and I still need to get a little better command of it, and it'll get tighter, but I'm on the right path with that.
Yeah, because you twisted the ending around to make it still, you know, a silly scenario with it.
No, the ending was still, you know what it was? The ending was still the same. I might not have gotten to the ending the first time you guys saw it because it just was laying there. I might have bailed a little bit on the ending. But the ending is basically, here's the ending. I go once in a while they catch these shooters and they it's always the same guy. Always somebody who's lonely and can't get laid. You know, this is the story, and now they're going to send him to prison to life. You know what I say? Before you send him in prison, dress him up as a drag queen. I guarantee you they won't be lonely and they'll get laid. Problem solved.
You also bought some other stuff in the plot thing to get their heels caught and something like that.
Well, no, I had that before, but I didn't deliver it well, or it didn't get a response. I have a better command of it now.
I would look at the film, or if you taped it, because what I would do and what I do is if something works really well, I'll write it down verbatim, and then I'll go, well, and this way you have everything that went right there in print in front of you. You know, and this way you use it. You know, you don't try to go up every night. You try to do it the way you did it. But now, as a compendium in your book, in your knapsack, you have the damn thing there. You can refer back to it. Did I do it that way? This way? Could I add to it? You know, so it's always good. That's why, you know, I always like to tape, because if something goes wrong, I want to know immediately. If something goes right, a punch, I want to write it down exactly the way it went that night. And, hopefully, to keep it 9 times out of 10, yeah, it is.
I think as long as I keep command of the material, I think I deliver it the way I deliver it with passion. I think it'll be fine. But it was a good weekend. Everything's good. Let's take our first break. On the break, Joe and I actually briefly discussed this. We didn't go into depth about it. I think it's a fascinating conversation. In Delaware, the legislature wants to make it so a Catholic priest have to reveal to authorities if somebody confesses to abusing children or neglecting children. Very, very interesting topic. We also have a kid who was suspended because his mom is an OnlyFans performer. Pip is fired up about a proposed law in Iowa taking away basic food groups from poor people who are on SNAP. We got other stuff, and how Jack Daniels ruined something besides Joe's liver. That and more. So you want to stick around. On the break, we got John Carr with Love on the Rocks and Daniel Slam with Just Friends. And you can learn more about John Carr at creativeanddreams.com. And you can learn more about Daniel Slam.